We're going to go to Romans chapter 4 to start with today, and we're going to look at a section. I don't know, a couple of months ago, I looked at the thing in Acts, the record where Paul was speaking the word to, who was it, Agrippa, I think, and Agrippa said, "Thou almost persuadeth me," you know, but he didn't. And we looked at, you know, what happens, you're almost. And I was thinking, you know, there's lots of things that happen in life that almost work. You know, lots of guys tried to invent airplanes. They almost got it, but they didn't. But we don't know those guys. We don't remember them. We remember the Wright brothers. How many of you remember who lost the World Series in 1956?
You do.
Me. But other than me, probably nobody. And the team that lost almost won, but nobody remembers who almost won. They remember the champ, right? The Yankees won. The Dodgers lost in the seventh game. You know, how many times, you know, people almost win Olympic gold medals, but nobody remembers them. They remember the person that won, you know, and it almost is just not very good. Well, the other side of that is people that do win or do believe. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 4, verse 17, speaking about Abraham. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know, that's pretty cool, because God called Abraham a father of many nations before he even had, you know, sons. He said he would bless all the nations of earth, and kings would come out of him, and nations would come out of him, and he didn't have any children yet. So God spoke those things as though they already were, even though they did not yet happen. And he said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I have two translations of the end of verse 17 I thought I would read to you. Who gives life, the RV, Revised Version, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And the Amplified says, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. You know, when it says he gives life, it's really referring to Abraham in the context. And we're going to see that a little bit here. So it was Abraham who against hope, believed in the future expectation of what God had promised him. You know, a hope is a future expectation, and it is in a positive way. You know, hope is not negative. You don't have a negative hope. You have anxiety, right? But hope is positive. And it's a future expectation of something good happening. And he hoped against hope. He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in believing, faith is believing, he considered not his own body. He did consider his body. The word "not" is not in the text. He considered his own body. His own body was what? Old. It was dead. Now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, I remember thinking about this and not quite understanding it for a while, how 13 years previous, he had had a son, Ishmael, right? So at that point, he was not dead as far as reproduction was concerned, as far as having children was concerned. But then by the time he got to be 100, he was pretty much done with. He was dried up. He no longer could produce. So he was dead in that way. He could no longer reproduce or have children. And he considered the deadness of his body and the deadness of Sarah's womb, who had been barren from way back, because she could never produce a child. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God. And verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was convinced, he was fully persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform. And you know, if you really want to see the richness of God in your life, you have to push yourself to become fully persuaded. You have to work at it. You have to jump in with both feet. You have to be committed to God and seeing God bring his word to pass. You know, anything in life, if you do it half-heartedly, what do you get?
Nothing.
Nothing. You don't get very good results. You have to really put your heart into things to get good results. When you just are half in and half out, it usually doesn't work out very well for you. When you have a problem in life and you go to God, you got to be fully persuaded that he's going to help you with that problem. When you want to see something happen, you have to be fully persuaded. When you go into marriage, you need to be fully persuaded that you're going to love that person and do your best for that person. And if both people don't give their all and are fully persuaded that they're committed to that union, it's usually not a great marriage, right? It's not as good. The context here is Abraham's believing, right? He was dead as far as reproduction was concerned. Yet he was called the father of many nations while he was dead. See? And so God called and said, you know, you're a father of many nations and many kings are going to come out of you, even before they existed. And Abraham was fully persuaded that God was going to pull this off. And he went 25 years before God actually did, but he didn't stop believing, did he? No. He continued to be fully persuaded. Walter Cummins wrote of this, he said, in order for us to reach the highest potential which God wants for us, we must be fully persuaded that we are what God says we are and that we can do what God says we can do. Almost persuaded doesn't count. It doesn't count for anything. You know, almost believing doesn't really work, does it? You either believe or you don't believe, but you become fully persuaded concerning what God has promised. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, this is Paul speaking, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, which is the return, right? So here Paul said he was fully confident, and the word confident is persuaded. He was persuaded of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, God, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the day of the gathering together. You know, whatever God has promised, what we believe, he will bring it to pass. But whatever God says is going to be, is going to be, isn't it? So, you know, we sit here and we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and we have those promises. Well, it's going to come to pass, isn't it? We have the proof. We have Holy Spirit within us. Every time we speak in tongues, it is proof to us of the resurrection. It is proof to us of the return of Christ. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. You know, the first thing, one of the reasons that we are so intent on rightly dividing the word is so that we can be fully persuaded of the word. When you have confidence in God's word, when you have confidence in what it says, then it's easier to believe, right? You know, you could be fully persuaded about the wrong thing, couldn't you? There are lots of people that are fully confident, fully persuaded in error. And so where does that get them? Well, it gets them error. That's where it gets them. It gets them nowhere. You know, there are people that are fully persuaded about things about God that are totally wrong. You know, if you believe that God punishes you for every sin and you're fully persuaded of it, you're going to live a pretty lousy life. You know, if you don't believe that God is a forgiving God and you're fully persuaded of it, you're going to be pretty guilt-ridden, or you're going to go the other way and say, the hell with it, I'm just going to have a good time and not worry about it. You see? You can be fully persuaded lots of ways that are not correct. That's why it's important to understand and rightly divide what the Word of God says, so that we can be fully persuaded, but we need to be fully persuaded on what is correct, what is right. That's the whole point of God's Word, is to teach us how to believe rightly, right? So we can live rightly, so we can enjoy the abundance of God in our lives. In Numbers 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. Praise God and hallelujah. Because we all lie at times. All men are liars. But God is not a man that he should lie. It says in Hebrews, it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. So we latch on to the truth of God's word, and we can become fully persuaded. You know what's great about this verse? It's spoken by Balaam, who was a crooked prophet, who was trying to make money off of being a prophet of God. And Balak, this king, is trying to say, look, if you will prophesy against Israel, I'll give you a lot of money. And no matter what Balaam did, God kept saying, no, I'm not going to curse Israel. So he kept going back to this guy, Balak, and he says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You know, he couldn't reverse it. He can't, you know, prophets only can say what God tells them to say if they're true prophets of God, right? So whatever God tells them, that's it. You're stuck with it. You know, whether you like it or not. You know, when the Word of God says stuff and you don't like it, well, you have two choices. You can change your mind, or you can disobey, not believe. But we want to be fully persuaded. Why do we want to be fully persuaded? So we get the benefits of God. We get the blessings of God. We see the abundance of God in our lives, the greatness of God in our lives. What God says is, and what God says will be. Pretty simple. Let's go to Colossians, back to the New Testament, Colossians. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, but first we're going to go to Colossians. Chapter 2 of Colossians. It says that their heart, chapter 2, verse 2, it says that their hearts of the believers, might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And the words full assurance there are fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. God wants us to be knit together in love unto all the riches of being fully persuaded, of understanding, to the knowledge or the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. You know, he wants us to be so tied into the mystery, to the body of Christ, to walking and participating as members of the body of Christ. He wants us to be fully persuaded of that calling, and the riches of it, you see? Let's go back to Genesis. Well, no, you know what? Go to Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 11. Then we'll go to Genesis. Hebrews 11, to read more about Abraham. Because Abraham was an example to us. Now, you know, Jesus Christ is an example, and you can say, well, he was Jesus Christ. Well, okay, but Abraham was a guy. And he had weaknesses, and he made mistakes, but he continued to hang in there with God. He was stubborn on God's word. He was fully persuaded. And when he made a mistake, he turned to God, and God gave him the answer to get him out of trouble, and he would do it. And he would listen to God. And so he continued to believe God and be fully persuaded. And eventually he got that great miracle in his life where God brought his body back to life and he had a son. In chapter 11, verse 8, it says, By believing, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, did what?
Obeyed.
He obeyed. See, that's the first thing he's an example of, obedience. He obeyed. God said, okay, I want you to leave behind your relatives and your friends and your home. I want you to pack up the camel, pack up the tent, and leave. And he did. He obeyed. He didn't even know where he was going, it says. It's what it says in Genesis. He didn't know where he was going. He just left. And God gave him the directions as he went. Turn left here, turn right here, go 2 days in this direction, camp here. That's what he did. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By believing, he sojourned or traveled in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through believing also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, God, faithful who had promised. She was 90 years old. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, and multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. In other words, from Abraham and his one son Isaac sprang up the nation of Israel, which became millions and millions of people. Now we'll go to Genesis. So he was as good as one dead. Genesis chapter 17. Chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 1. And when Abram, see now it doesn't say Abraham, right? It says Abram. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, which means 99, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. See, before it even happened, before he even had a child, he was the father of many nations, and God renamed him, which means a father of many nations. and I will make thy seed, I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And you know, that covenant still stands. God still honors that covenant. He does. And he will honor it in the future. And Israel gets another shot in the future. And God will honor that covenant because he will put Jesus Christ on the throne of David again, which is part of that. Let's go to verse 15. Verse 15, it says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. You know, God made the covenant with him, and he kept it. And he blessed Isaac. And, you know, that was a miracle because they couldn't bear children. And God just, again, showed that he was God. God sometimes allows his people to be in impossible situations just to show that he's God. You know, just, okay, you got into this jam. Great. Now let me show you what I can do. He does that. So Abraham was quite a guy. Verse 23, it says, and Abram took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with money, and every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. You know, he obeyed God, didn't he? God told him to circumcise all the males in his household. And he circumcised them. You know, now we circumcise male babies today, or some people do. You know, and you know, it hurts them for a little bit, but it heals right up. But you imagine when you're an adult? Abraham was 99 years old, and he circumcised himself, and then his children and his servants. I bet his servants say, do I really want to work for this guy? And Abram was 90 years old and 9 when he circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael the son was 13 years old when he circumcised him in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house born in his house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. So he obeyed God. He agreed to the covenant with God. See, God made an offer and said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abraham. And this is what you have to do to accept the covenant. And so he did. Now let's go back to James. So remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about being fully persuaded. And Abraham was pretty fully persuaded, wasn't he? He was willing to do what God told him. He was willing to hang in there, even though it took a long period of time. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in believing, nothing wavering. You know what a wave is, right? We get waves in the ocean from two reasons. From the magnetism of the earth and the moon, and from the wind. You know, if you get a, like you go out and you sit by a lake, and there's really not a lot of waves on a lake, but then when the wind starts blowing, you get waves. See? We're not to be wavering in our belief. We're to be fully persuaded. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, we're to be fully persuaded. We're to be fixed. We're to be focused on believing God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with half your heart. No. With what?
All.
All your heart. You know, if we're going to be fully persuaded, we have to trust God with all our heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. My own understanding is not very good. You know, I have to trust what God says. I have to believe what God tells me to do. And I have to obey and do it. I have to be committed to it. I have to be fully persuaded. I have to not let my mind trick me and carry me away and say, well, I can just give a little bit on this, or I can just give a little bit on that. You know, you have to be fully committed to it. You have to be fully persuaded. In all thy ways. In how many ways?
All
thy ways. Every part of your life. The big things, the little things. The important things, the not so important things. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Respect the Lord. And depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And the marrow is where the blood is manufactured, isn't it? And, you know, the life of the body is in the blood. Okay, let's go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. At the time of Jesus Christ, Israel had gotten to the place where they really didn't believe anything, you know, and they thought that their circumcision made them righteous. They thought that being of the bloodline of Israel was it. That's what you had to be, and that you just kept the law and you were okay. It says here in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him or accounted to him for righteousness. The reason that Abraham was so blessed of God was because he believed. Not because he was religious. Not because he kept the law, because there was no law other than he did what God told him to do. He obeyed God. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith or believing the same are the children of Abraham. You know, in the sense of believing, if we believe God, we are the children of Abraham. We're the children of believing. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through believing preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, it's through believing that we're blessed. We're blessed because Abraham believed. You know, because that's where Jesus Christ came from. And it's through Jesus Christ that all nations became blessed, because then God made it available to everybody. So then they which be of believing are blessed with faithful Abraham. How much was Abraham blessed? Well, go back in Genesis and start in chapter 12 and read through chapter 21, 22, whatever it is, and see what God did for Abraham. He was blessed. Did he make mistakes? Sure. What happened? He turned to God and God set it straight. He was blessed. He was enriched in every aspect of life. He lived a long life. He lived a blessed life. You know, it says, they that believe are blessed with faithful Abraham. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of believing. Full assurance is fully persuaded in believing. Let us draw with a true heart, fully persuaded of believing, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith or believing without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful that promised. So we just need to stay faithful. We just need to stay put on what God has told us. Obey him and believe, fully persuaded. You can't half believe. You can't almost believe. You have to be fully persuaded in your believing. That's as simple as it gets. You have to be fully persuaded, just like Abraham. Abraham is our great example. He was dead, and God brought him back to life, gave him his son. And God just did everything he could to bless Abraham because Abraham believed. He was fully persuaded of God. Okay? So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we have your word and we have the understanding of rightly dividing it. We have the understanding of your Holy Spirit, how we have your seed within us, that we should be and can be fully persuaded as we believe you in everything we do. And we thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that made this all available to us. And for Abraham, how he believed you. And we thank you, God, for these examples in your word so that we can look to them, that they are our examples, and that we can hold fast to that word, and that we can be steadfast and faithful and obedient, that we can not waver, but we can always look to you. And we just thank you, God, that you help us and teach us and show us as we go through our day, that you can help us to be better believers and more fully persuaded, and that we can just have the eyes of our understanding opened. And we thank you for these things. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.